Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. Randy Dean here. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I am secure in my thinking that lesser values than love just devolve and slide into the rabbit hole of BS. Bait and switch, or something else if you want it to be that. But there is no such thing as baiting and switching when you're loving. When you're loving, you're living straight up. You're living straightforward in a communication with people around you that is without manipulation, shame, or blame, trying to get your way, trying to get something out of folks. Love carries the day. So today we're going to talk about, again, I think this is my third run at the communication of love. How does love get communicated well? So we do a few things here to get us in track and on track for the broadcast. First of all, we'll start with Love's Creed, something I wrote about a decade or so ago for my New Year's resolution at the time. It resonated with me so well, and I shared it with the church I was pastoring at the time and resonated with folks there. I thought, you know, this just needs to be a staple for me, and I kept it as a New Year's resolution. And then it occurred to me, just as church has creeds like the Apostles' Creed or Nicene Creed, points of and references of faith that we verbalize, I remember thinking specifically, you know, this could be a daily creed for anybody that would like to just coin it for their own words and their own needs and meditation. So we'll do that in a minute, and we'll get to at the end we're going to do a couple other exercises that I treasure. I hope you have learned to if you've been here before. If you haven't, by the way, welcome to this broadcast. Please tell your friends, send the word around the world. No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, is here to unpack the depths, the heights, the width, the breadth, the beauty, the significance, the journey, the pilgrimage, the marathon of a life lived for love alone. All right, let's go to the Love's Creed then. I'll share it with you in total. To start with, we'll go back, and just as I would with a nervous bride and groom, I'll share it with you and have you repeat after me after little short bursts of phrases, okay? Here it is in total, alive to love. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, let's go through it as a vow. Let your ears gather in your own voice, committing yourself to something life-changing, life-sustaining. All right, here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I never grow weary of the prose of that. It's not necessarily poetic, but it does have a rhyme and meter in my own mind. And I just don't grow tired of meditating it, saying out loud as a part of my meditation of it. So if you'd like a copy of that, you could contact me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries is all one word and all lowercase @gmail.com. Request it. I'll send you a copy of it so that you can have it to put it in your phone, put it on your computer. Your devices are on a 3x5 card for your mirror when you're getting ready in the morning, putting on your makeup or shaving or just brushing your teeth. And, well, it'd be kind of hard to say out loud, wouldn't it? Well, you could at least meditate it. You get my point, though. If you'd like a copy of it, let me know, and I'll be happy to send a copy to you. Well, as I said earlier, I'm here to once again talk to you about the communication of love. When we communicate, we're doing it on multiple levels. And I've been through this before, but let me review just to give you a quick run at what we're going to talk about. We communicate with our body language, with our facial expressions, with written notes, and actually using our words. Those are four levels of communication. I want you to hear that again. Body language. It's how you hold yourself when somebody's speaking to you or while you're speaking. I mean, if you're speaking in a agitated way and you're leaning forward and you're pointing your finger at somebody, well, that shouts more than just your words. Body language. Folded arms or red in the face or maybe distancing yourself or turning away from somebody. Secondly, through facial expressions, if you roll your eyes while somebody's talking to you, well, you just said a mouthful, didn't you, without saying anything out of your mouth. Your face just communicated. Your eyes communicated. We could grimace. Here's one for you, smiling. How about a smile, even if it's just a Mona Lisa smile, just a slight grin that gives people the sense of comfort while you're listening to their words, smiling, crying. If we're crying as we communicate or as we listen, that shouts volumes, doesn't it? Frowning, grimacing, as I said earlier. So body language, facial expressions, written word. Now, on this, we've been, you know, as human beings, we've been writing to each other through postcards and letters and emails came along. And next thing you know, texting showed up. The written word is something we need to pay attention to. Now, I think it's important for us to learn how to write letters. Do a handwritten note that sends, even if it's short. A short note written is better than a long letter intended. So write a short note to somebody, just a thank you or a hey there, how are you? Drop it. Postage these days is not cheap, but you know it's worth the price. What is it, 55, 60 cents? Whatever it is, that's worth the price of a cent rather than a long letter intended. But when we text or we email or even in handwritten notes, one of the things that's missing in that equation, right, is facial language. So when we're angry and we're what I would call rage texting or we're texting under the influence, drunk texting, when we're doing that, we're shooting darts through our words and they get marks, don't they? But you're not seeing the pain in the eyes and the face of the person you're attacking with your words. So it's so easy to write an angry text. It's so easy to shoot something out in email. Just give them heck. But the reason it's easy is you don't have to interact. You get to have a solo. You just get to go after somebody. And I've learned the hard way that is not the end of dialogue. I'll come back to that in a minute. And then finally, using our words to say, come on now, honey, use your words. To that extent, you know, we may be 20, 30, 40, 70, or 80 or older. And if we're groaning or moaning or carrying on in some kind of nonverbal way, It's time to just use your words. If you're not happy, say so. I'm not happy. Or if you are happy, say so. Give communication through your words and practice the pause. Listen to me on this one. For actually practice your pause. To pause means when you hear something, take a breath. Take one beat. It doesn't have to be long, just a second or two. Let your brain process what you've heard before you react. See, I think there's something very important about reaction that causes more problems for us. We need to respond, not react. To react means I'm going to take your action and react. So if your action was harmful and I react, well, I just added harm upon harm, didn't I? But if I respond, the root word for respond is ponder. Practice the pause and ponder what you've heard. Maybe you should ask a question about what you heard. Ask the person who spoke, could you repeat that for me, please? I'm sorry. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying to me. So don't react, respond. So four levels of communication: body language, facial expressions, written word, and actually using our words. Now, I said this, I believe it was last week, but I want to remind you of this, of these statistics. 7% of communication is our words, but 38% is in our voice and our tone, and 55% is in the language we use, body language we use. So get that again. Body language is 55%, voice and tone is 38%. That's 93% of effective communication. But only 7% is actually our words. That's important to see and to grasp and to hold and to think and to ponder, respond to. Remember that when you're seeking effective communication. And here's something else about communication. I've written this note to myself as a reminder for me that the love of being right, you know what I mean, right? Is that I'm right, you're wrong, shut up and listen. The love of being right. That's the end of dialogue. However, when we choose empathy and love for the person in front of us, we choose it. We make a quick internal choice. This is the beginning of our healing. Because when we're peacemakers, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. That's not people who are just trying to make do or blow off a conversation. They're making peaceful connections through communication. Blessed are the peacemakers whose passion is found beyond what they usually defend, reaching for compassionate comprehension outside customary comforts. Listen and learn. Reaching beyond what we usually defend. Now, there's a big one, right? We have a list in our mind. We have a file in our head, don't we, of the things we're just going to defend to the death. We're going to fight for it no matter what. We don't care if I'm right or wrong. We just care about I'm going to defend this no matter what else other people say. I'm here to tell you, love communicates at a whole nother level. Love says I'm willing to listen more than speak. Love says, I'm willing to make peace by reaching for comprehension that is outside my customary comforts. To see people in an empathetic sense, not to just say, well, I think I understand, but to go beyond that and say, I want to understand. And I mean genuinely want, not in a frustrated way, but in an honest way. I want to understand. The communication of love requires a desire to understand. Now, understanding may include that I still don't agree with you, but at least I'm making an attempt to understand, to know what's under your standing. That's what understanding is. What's under where you stand so that I can connect with you even if I don't agree at the end of that. Maybe I will agree. Maybe I'll change my mind. That would be beautiful. But in terms of really holding to things that we treasure without surrendering them, perhaps the person we're responding to is just looking for some understanding. By the way, that is the basis of love, is to understand more than to be understood. St. Francis of Assisi said that. Lord, may I seek to understand more than I seek to be understood. Leads us to serenity, leads us to the peace that passes all understanding, and it leads us to peacemaking. To be able to say of someone, I don't always agree with them, but I sure understand where they're coming from. I'm reaching for a compassionate comprehension outside my own customary comforts. There's so many opportunities to learn in this world, right? Our world is full of the opportunity to learn, but love has to be in the mix of learning. We have to love learning. We have to love being a student for all of our lives. It's been my goal to hold on to that, and I see it in myself now that I'm I'm 70. So hard to say sometimes. Oh man! But I see my stodginess trying to grab me and hold me and say, just grab a hold of what you know and just hang on to what you know and don't listen to nobody else. Well, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to die that way. I don't want to carry my life forward and have people say, well, he died a stubborn old mule. I don't want that epitaph. I want to be known as the guy who lived his life for love alone. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I want plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. So to that end, I want to be a lifelong student, especially the student of love, and a student of communicating. I've had to admit in the last year that I needed hearing aids. What a challenge that's been. It still is. I'm learning to use my hearing aids well for my own benefit. And I know. I grew up a rock and roll baby. I grew up playing a lot of rock and roll on my guitar. I grew up in a few concerts that were just a little too loud for my own good. I'm paying the piper for that. But my point is, in getting hearing aids, I've had to retrain, and I'm still retraining, how to listen well. And it's just simply a challenge day by day. I told my wife just this last day, I said, I love these hearing aids, and I hate these hearing aids. I love them because they're helping me. I hate them because they're challenging me at every level. So it's learning to listen again, and it's learning to listen because I'm alive to love. I'm alive for love. So to that end, in communicating, more than half of communication is listening. And in fact, if we think of communication as half speaking, half listening, we're probably missing the point, aren't we? If communication is half me, half you, let's aim at it being the majority of you speaking and the minority of me listening. That'd be a bright new day, wouldn't it? If for all of us, on some level, we could carry that forward rather than, as I said earlier, to react instead of respond, to take the pause. The word, the pause there is, remember, pause. Take a breath. Take a beat. We have a dear, dear daughter-in-law who has this ability to just stop, look you in the eye, and she says, And that's her pause. That's her way of taking a beat. It's just, you know, it's seconds long. It isn't forever, but most people aren't used to it. In fact, I've heard some people say, is she just not wanting to listen? And we've had to say, no. In fact, it's the opposite. She wants to listen. She wants to hear. And she pauses often when she's in a conversation. Well, I love this characteristic about her and so many other things. So connections come through communication, and communication comes when we love. To know that there is a beautiful, beautiful life waiting for us when we learn to communicate in love. To know that when I'm loving, I'm listening. To know that when I'm listening, I am loving. So in our families, all of our whether they're significant other, wife, mother, father, brother, sister, grandparents. In our families, there's a system of how families connect. To that end, all of us are invited to some understanding of why our families are the way they are. And when love has been injured or even not present in our families, communications are at the root of that, and that they're actually the victim of that. Communication is just destroyed when our families are not loving enough to communicate well. I grew up in a home where the the first language, as I grew up as a little guy in my single-digit years, the first language was yelling. The first language was screaming, cussing. The first language wasn't pausing to understand. The first language was yelling across the room, or worse, in their face. And that yelling, screaming, fighting became a curriculum in my little brain growing up. And I don't know where I learned it, but I learned just to get out of Dodge. You know what I mean? I learned to get out the house when that stuff happened, because it was hurting my mind. It was hurting my emotions. Now, you can run away, and I was in a certain form, but you can also give yourself some boundaries. So when you're in a communication with somebody whose love has been damaged or injured or not functional, don't just stand there and let the pummeling continue. Find a boundary, even if you have to say, please excuse me for one moment. I need a break. Just say it. If you're overwhelmed with somebody's anger or emotions, just smile and say, please excuse me. I need a break. If you have to, that's what I said earlier about practicing the pause. If you're tempted to react, stop. And if you have to say it, say, please excuse me. I need a break. So in my family of origin, growing up, the yelling and the screaming and the carrying on, sometimes I just could not escape. Sometimes there was no getting away. But I learned over time that the tension was building. I found a way to get on a city bus and just travel around and tour the city of Milwaukee where I grew up, which gave me a great learning curve as a kid. I used to go to libraries and museums. I used to go to the lakefront. I could have gotten into mischief, and I did some like any kid, but most of the time I was just out satisfying a little boy's curiosity about life. And it made me a early learner and a self-taught person in so many ways. My point here is to tell you that when we're communicating in love, we have to learn that sometimes love means my communication is less verbal and it's more pausing. It's more listening. It's more empathy. It's more recognizing that communication here isn't just by me having my say or getting in my 2 cents. I've often said, be careful giving people 2 cents. You might need those last 2 pennies. You better hang on to that cash, because otherwise you might get yourself in the emotional red and be out of emotional bank to spend. Hold on to those 2 cents. Don't give somebody a piece of your mind. You might need that last piece you got. Hang on to that. And recognize that communication is the means by which love can grow. Love can expand when we communicate. All right, to the end that we should learn to pause, we should learn how to breathe well. So when I am here every week, I teach you how to breathe well. You know, it seems, it seems like it ought to be instinct, and it is to some degree, but beyond the instinct is to pause and give yourself a personal break in the day. On the count of three, I want you to give yourself a personal break in whatever part of the day you're in. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, hold it to the diaphragm of your in your abdomen, fill your lungs up with air, and then exhale. All right? On the count of three, one, two, three, inhale. Hold it there. And exhale. That kind of practice for 5 minutes a day, or anytime you're feeling the reactionary emotion burning in you, that kind of exercise could save your emotional life. Breathe. pause, respond, don't react. The second thing we do here every No BS Bishop, it's to learn to say with intention, authenticity, with beauty, and the power of knowing how to say, I love you. Those holy words, those magical words, those charmed words, those powerful words are words that some people are waiting to hear. Some folks haven't heard that maybe in years, months, weeks, or even days. It's just one day without it is too long. When we say with eye contact and a full alert attention, I love you, it can be startling. It can even feel weird on the giving and the receiving. But practice makes perfect. Practice it with me. Is there somebody in the room with you right now? Turn around. Look at them. Give them eye contact. Smile. Remember communication? Smile and say, I love you. I'm in a recording studio alone, and I'm smiling. Smiling at a microphone, looking at a computer screen. But I'm smiling because those words make me happy. Whoever's listening, and I hope that there are thousands of you listening, I hope that you felt the bump in your emotions upward. I felt it for myself giving it, and I sure hope you caught it in the receiving. So we're here every week with this journey, this pilgrimage, this exploration. I'm trying to give you a PhD in love. So to that end, I want you to determine that you're going to go out today and you're going to make today beautiful. Are you going to do some small thing beautiful? We can't change the world in one fell swoop, but we can change it with one step at a time. Mother Teresa said, none of us can do great things, but all of us can do great small things. And one small thing at a time, we can change the world. So to that end, my heart is beating with the excitement for you that you got an assignment, and that assignment is one word. Love. Now go out there and do something beautiful with love in this day of fear and loathing and pain. Get rid of all the BS and load your heart and your mind with the beauty of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.